Welcome back to Super Tatis for Parshas Shoftim. Since we had the Yortzeit of Rav Meir Simcha Kohen of Tvinsk, the Baal Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma, this past week, I thought I would do some stories that came my way about Rav Meir Simcha. The first one is, he spent a lot of time learning Shas and Poiskim, but it said that he apparently one time in his youth, he went through all of Tanakh twice, and then it was just committed to memory. And they said, well, how did he get Rabbonus? He said that during his Sheva Brochos, he was such an incredible mind, that during his Sheva Brochos, I guess he started thinking, well, maybe I should go into the Rabbonus, and it would be time. So during the Sheva Brochos, wherever he was, he learned through Yoredeya and the Nosei Kelim, so he would be able to get that position. And now Yoredeya and Nosei Kelim, for many, takes a year or more, and for him, it just was a couple of days. So apparently he was being courted to be the Rav of Slobodka. However, he made a t'nai to be the Rav of Slobodka that eventually was not satisfied, so he never ended up taking that Rabbonus. And the t'nai was as follows. If they were going to appoint him to be the Rav of Slobodka, then he would just be the Morat Tzedek, but not the Rishi Shiva. And this was contrary to the common practice, where normally the Rav Ha'ir was also the Rosh Yeshiva. So why did he say so? He said, look, this is a God-fearing city, the city of Slobodka, and it is clear to me that the Balabatim are Yerushamayim, and they probably earn their money in a Yashardika way, so taking money from them shouldn't be in any way a challenge to me. However, with respect to the yeshivos, The way of the yeshivos is to use mishulachim, and those mishulachim occasionally engage in practices where the money is not the kind of money that you want to be receiving. So therefore, I only want to be the Rav and not the Rish Yeshiva, because I don't want the money that came from those mishulachim and their practices. And it was a rejected idea. When it came time to sell his sefer, the Or Sameach, or the Meshech Chochma, he had some Choshen Mishpat reservations about it. He said, look, there are two kinds of people who would want the sefer. First, there are the Lamdanim. The Lamdanim want it because it's, you know, wonderful Lamdas and everything else like that. But the problem is that the Lamdanim, since they're so Moser Nefesh and Torah, they're not going to have any money. So either they're going to spend money they don't have, or they're not going to have money to spend it, so it's not worth it. So who's going to end up buying it? It's going to be the Balabatim. But when the Balabatim buy it, they're buying it because it's a trophy, and it's not something that they're going to learn or get so much out of. So I'm wondering whether or not this is a question of theft. So he raised that concern, although, as we know, his Sefarim eventually got printed. Speaking of his Sefarim, there was a discussion between him and his Rebbe what to print first. He had first written the Meshech Chochma, which is a masterful work, and it's on the Chumash, and then he also had the Or Sameach on the Rambam. So the Or Sameach is viewed by many as a more lumdish work, and the Meshech Chochma includes ideas in Machshava, although it's Dolomashka from all of Shas. So the suggestion that was given to him is, don't put out the Meshech Chochma first, because then people won't realize what a lamdan you are, and they'll think you're just a darshan. But really, the idea is that you're so much more than that, and we need to make sure that that is visible. There was a story about him and his memory. His memory, as we saw in the story about Yoredeya and everything, was awesome. And somebody asked him a question in learning, and he said, please get my notebook from the top of the Aron. He said, I wrote these notes 28 years ago, and he started going through, telling idea by idea what the notes would say about that particular topic. In the middle of that meeting, apparently a woman came to ask a shayla, and whatever Gemara they were looking at, he put his finger on the spot and answered the shayla and did everything benachas, like a proper Rav would do. And then he went back where his finger was, and then he continued on in the learning. So they would ask, they say, listen, if you remember everything word for word came out from your notebook from 28 years ago, why don't you act, why is it that you can't just remember where you were in the sefer? What's up with that? It's not a terribly chutzpah question. It's a very curious question. I appreciate it. So he responded, he said, with respect to Torah, you need extra resilience. When Shlomo Melech says, Hata'if ve'einenu, you, with the blink of the eye, it's gone. That is not talking only about money. It's also talking about Torah. And you need a extra shmira. So that's what he did. There was there's a whole plentitude of stories about him and the relationship he had with the Rugachever as the Rabbanim for the Lithuanian community and the Hasidisha community in Dvinsk. And one story was that there was somebody who came, a Chochem came to the Rugachever for a smicha, and Rugachever really gave him the business, asked him hard, hard questions and kind of came down hard on him, as we know Kedarka Bekodesh of the Rugachever. And Rav Meir Simcha had a gentler bar in terms of what he would do in terms of giving smicha. And when the question was posed to him, why is that? He said, if I give this person smicha, it is muchrach, that it is certain that he is going to put in the time, put in the hishtadlus, put in the shkida to become worthy of that smicha. Interesting story. Next one is the last story I have before we get on to a few divrei Torah. And that story is about somebody came to go visit Rav Meir Simcha, and whoever was being mishamishim at that time said he's busy doing something very important, and they eventually got into the room, nevertheless, to see what Rav Meir Simcha was doing. And when they got there, they saw that Rav Meir Simcha was dancing in front of two old people and a child. And they asked Maihai, what's the story here? His response was that this couple had a child very late in life, and they were having challenges in life, and they decided they wanted to get divorced. So after they decided they wanted to get divorced, Rav Meir Simcha said, okay, look, just bring the child to me and we'll have a conversation. And he said, we're going to bring the child. And he said to the child, listen, I want you to know your parents really want you to be a yosom, and don't worry. I'll take you under my wings if your parents decide that they want to abandon you. And the parents heard what he said, and they said, we are not getting divorced. And that's why Rav Meir Simcha started dancing, because he convinced them to stay together. A couple of divrei Torah. Shema Yisrael, Hayom Atem Orimus Yardin. He says, Shema Yisrael, the Gemara in Sota says, notably, this entire thing is in plural, but the other Shema Yisrael is in Yachid. So what's the deal? Says Rav Meir Simcha, there is one thing that everybody is equal in this regard, and that is that if you just were Makayim Kriya Shema, you will not be Mosur Biad the Oivim, meaning to say you'll have the opportunity to be saved so long as you do Shema Yisrael. That's for all of you. Then a similar in Perichov Pasuk, I believe it's either Hey or Beis, it says somebody who's the Rach Levav, they had they just built a house. It says Yelech V'Yoshev Leveso. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? It says you're going to get water and you're going to be fix up the paths and something. It's just that you're not going to go to the front lines of the war. Why is that? Rav Meir Simcha explains. It says, when you're doing that, when the war is over, you'll be able to go back to your home. A nice Chassidish Torah to add. It says on the Pasuk, V'amdu shnei anoshim, and Rashi says, Be'edim akosu medaber, the Chozel Lublin asked Rav Yitzchak Mivorka, the Vorka Rebbe, Why is it that relatives are puzzle invalid to be adim for their relatives, whether it is in order to be mezake or mechayev? Says, look, I understand the idea why to be mezake, because they love them, they're not going to be objective. But why would they be to be mechayev? So the Vorka Rav responds back. He says, you know why? That's why it's meduyak in the pasuk. It doesn't call, it says, va'amdu shtei anashim. A person who is going to be made for to be mechayev, their relative, they shouldn't be called an ish. So it had to be corrected. A beautiful idea from Rav Yosef Karo. It says, you're not allowed to make an Asherah tree by Hashem's Mizbeach. So there's Gemara in Pesachim Ches Amud Beis. It says, why were Chamei Tveria outside in were they not in Yerushalayim and they were in Tveria? It says, why? Because when people were Ola L'Regel, when people would come up three times a year, they could have said, you know, if we didn't come up, you know, if we came up just to wash in Chamei Tver, it would have been enough. And it would have turned out to be an Aliyah L'Regel Shelo Lishma. So it would have taken away from their mitzvah of Lishma. So he says the same thing when it says an Asherah next to the Mizbeach. It says you don't want people to say the same sort of thing. If we didn't have the Mizbeach, it would have been enough for the Asherah. Famous Rashi about Tamim Tiyeh Mashem Lokecha, it says, Hishalich imo b'tmimus, you should walk with Hashem in purity, v'utetzapelo, and you should wait for him. V'lo tachkor acharatidos, you're not going to look into the future, as it were. You're not going to try to understand what's going to be. Ela kol ma sheyavo elecha kabeo bismimus, whatever comes your way, you need to accept. V'az tiyeh imo ulechelko, then it'll be for you and it'll be your chelek. Meaning this is a wonderful midah. So, first thing I'll mention is that this sounds like the highest darga of bitachon, as set forth in the Chovos Levavos, when he lays out the 10 levels of bitachon. He says that there's somebody who, wherever they are, whatever there is, they are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they wouldn't have it any other way. Moreover, I'll add a point just based on the concept of mindfulness, that is a beautiful line in Rav Chaim Friedlander in the Sifsei Chaim. He says that everybody's thinking about the wrong times. So young people waste their present by thinking about their future and dreaming about their future. And old people waste their present by thinking about the past. So the real thing, the only way to really be with Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, is to be present. You need to be present in your time so you can really sit with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, there will always be a method of distraction from one's chovos, one's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and all those similar matters. I will just add one more thing, is that it could be that this is a merumas in the Gemara by Hillel at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where he gets up in the middle of the biggest party of the year, and instead of dancing along or anything else, he decides he's going to give a speech. And what's his speech? He says, V'iman yikana golkan. Now, notwithstanding the fact that some say he's the interlocutor to be speaking on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it could be that kan means that I'm nowhere else in mind. I am here. And if I'm here, everything is here. A singularity of focus. And for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a mitzvah of simcha. That's what I'm doing. And I'm not doing anything else. And it's really remarkable to think about, because the nature of Aliyah L'Regel and the nature of simcha and the nature of a Yom Tov is there's so much noise and haste. You've left your home. You've gone to Yerushalayim. You're in close quarters. You're with all these people who you know and you don't know, and you're neck deep in the unfamiliar, but nevertheless, you're with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea in Ikana Kolkan, and that's the idea of Hishachus Bitzmimus. Have a wonderful Shabbos.